It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. So excited to have you here. This show is actually being taped today, even though it's live on Facebook. I'm actually taping it for Monday. So you may see this clip again on Monday, but what I do for the sake of saving time is I record all of my shows in a two-day period, allowing me to do speaking engagements and work on other marketing-related, consulting-related type of endeavors. So today's show, even though it's live on Facebook, it's actually being taped for Monday's show. It's the genius behind media. Yeah, behind media, entertainment, all that good stuff. All right, so I was talking about this little invention. This was printed, and I know that you guys who are listening are going, hey, I can't see anything. I know, that's why you have to go to Facebook and see my Facebook Live stuff. All right, so I'm showing my Facebook Live audience this. It's really going to be used for a smartphone or a tablet. It's a smartphone tablet holder. And the genius behind it is that it fits on your monitor and it holds your smartphone or your tablet kind of at eye level, so you can use it for broadcasting live. And so what I do now is I put it on a tripod, but the tripod is lower, and so I want it at face level. Does that make sense? So I came up with a design. This friend of mine drew the design on a free Google app, and then we printed it on a 3D printer. It took about 10 or 15 minutes from conception to actually having our first prototype. We found some flaws in the prototype. We're going to redo it. I'll bring you up to date because I know you're going to want one. It's perfect for Christmas or for the holidays. All right. We have a really good show lined up for you today. Jeff Runyon is joining me. And Jeff Runyon is a senior investment advisor and team leader for Runyon Capital Advisors. He has more than 16 years of industry and investment experience. He launched his Beverly Hills office of Runyon Capital Advisors, where he serves many of the most prominent and respected business, families, doctors, restaurants, retailers in Southern California. His practice is built on the philosophy of earning not the highest returns, but the highest returns consistent with higher degrees of safety. And that's really, to me, the most important thing. Jeff Runyon, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to have you here. And I'm excited to hear about your philosophy of consistent, high, yet safe returns, because sometimes safety is a factor, especially for us old guys. It's definitely a factor, right?
It's an important factor for everyone. It's the overwhelming majority of the people that we see and serve. Safety is probably, if not the most or significant or critical component to building a portfolio that hopefully gives a greater level of comfort for the long term.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about this.
It comes in a couple of different formats, too, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to come back to that. We'll come back to the different formats of that. Because I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to get your opinion on the market. Recently, here the market has been moving. People are saying, it seems like people are fairly confident. Reports from Black Friday and Cyber Monday is that people are spending more today than they did last year at this time. What's your response to this? What do you think is going on? How do you feel, about this? Kind of give me your thoughts, opinions on this.
Starting with sales and earnings, companies may be doing well. We like to see that. We're also not forgetful or naive in the fact that asset prices have really run up over recent years. Assets, everything including stocks, bonds, real estate, you name it, asset prices have inflated. And the more value that an asset has, you then have a byproduct of what's called the wealth effect. And the wealthier you feel today, based on the value of the house that you own, the stocks in your portfolio, the bonds in your portfolio, et cetera, the more inclined or likely you are to spend more than maybe you would have in years past when valuations were lower. So that's not a surprise. We see that in all sort of market cycles. And so it seems reasonable to have that happen again.
Sure. Sure. So let me ask you this. Are you advising your clients in any specific way? Are you doing anything, any kind of specific response to what you're seeing, or are you just kind of waiting and seeing?
Well, with the recent market increase, it's really been a recent phenomenon with the eve of the presidential election, where it seemed as though markets were pricing in the probability that you could expect the Dow Jones Industrial Average to be down as much as 800 points the following day. That would have been Wednesday of 3 weeks ago. But the reality was, when everyone woke up and sort of turned on their television, opened their web browser, and saw the news for the day, it was not as dramatic as what the preceding evening seemed to foreshadow. And the markets were down a couple of hundred points early in the day and then down 100 points middle of the day. And it turned out that within not terribly long, not only were they not negative, but they went positive. So that was probably something that the overwhelming majority of people, at least in the economic world, were not anticipating. But, you know, we always accept good news, market being higher.
Right. That's right. How about that? We'll accept some good news. Hey, how about that? Yeah, you know what? And that's interesting because you're right. A lot of people were preparing for a doomsday kind of situation, and I don't know why. I mean, you know. Anyway, bottom line is that, like you said, that it corrected itself. It seems to be trending up since then, and I personally don't think it's because of Donald Trump. I know some people say, yes, people are feeling more secure because we have this new president-elect. And what is your thought? Do you think Donald Trump had anything to do with it? Is it just coincidental? Am I wrong?
Certainly not wrong. The market is a funny animal. It reacts and acknowledges certainty and uncertainty. And I think that the negative reaction the evening of the election wasn't necessarily because of who was going to become president, but it was the unanticipated effect that it was different than what the market had priced in. And so without making a political position for the candidate, not for the elected candidate, it's just a byproduct of the market is always interested in knowing as much as possible before it even happens. So you see it in other events like interest rate hikes. And this year, at the very beginning of the year, it was forecast that interest rates would go up at some point during the year, if not more than once or twice or three times. And now we're in the very beginning of December starting tomorrow, and rates haven't really moved with the exception of last year. And we do anticipate and think that the market's pricing in a December 13th or 14th move based on that Federal Reserve meeting. So if that didn't happen, all of a sudden the market would respond differently just because that's what it's believed to be pricing in.
Right, right. Yeah, I like that. Absolutely. I think you nailed it. I think the market just said, oh, wow, it's something different than we expected. Let's react to that. Let's talk about this real quick. Right now, you know, there is some speculation, as always, you know, that any minute now we're going to have a correction. Do you believe that we're going to have a correction, let's say in 2017? Or do you think that, maybe not in 2017, but maybe some further down the road? What is your kind of gut thought on this?
Yeah, it's a good question. We certainly believe a reduction in valuations or a correction or a decline in values, whatever euphemism we want to say for a market decline. We believe that that is a likely outcome, a likely event. And I can't tell you if it's next year in 2017 or if it happens in the middle of December of 2016 or if it's January 3rd of 2018. But we believe in the foreseeable future that the markets are likely to move lower. And it's not a surprise. It's not anything unusual or outstanding. It's just that markets move in cycles. And if you look at where we are right now in 2016, tail end of the year, if you just go back in time and not the too distant past, in 2008 and in 2009, the markets were really, really meaningfully lower values than they are now. We had negative events like Countrywide, the home loan provider imploding, and Bear Stearns closing, and Lehman Brothers collapsing, and it was sort of a deluge of endless bad or negative economic news. And really, from that period in time, 2008, 2009, until now, that's 8 years of continued and sustained rise in values. And markets don't only go up, they go both directions. So we've seen a pretty linear climb over the last 8 years, and we believe not remembering beyond a past greater than that, it would be it would not be to someone's best interest. Because if you go back maybe 8 years prior to the period I'm mentioning, 2008, the previous 8 years, you're looking at the year 2000, and that's coming off the dot-com bubble when the NASDAQ, the measure of many tech stocks, when it first reached 5,000 points, and we had the dot-com bubble and its implosion. And so, yeah, we sort of think 7, 8, 9 year cycles, it wouldn't be unrealistic to anticipate some kind of pullback.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that makes total sense. And I like what you said there. Look, markets don't just go up, and I think it's silly for somebody to say, you know, hey, life's great, it's going to continue like this. It doesn't ever continue like that. It goes up and down. The market is a dynamic, almost, you know, living organism, and it's got to, you know,
right,
expand and contract. And I think that what I'm hoping for is, I would love, and I know this is just completely self-serving, I would love the market for the market to crash. You know, sometime after the first quarter, I'm putting aside some money so I can take advantage of the market, you know, of the lower prices, because, you know,
yeah.
I need that. I want that. And bottom line is, look, there's a lot of investors out there who are holding onto their cash waiting for that dip.
Right. So most often the people that we see will never share that camp of, we hope that the market crashes. To the contrary,
right,
we hope that we're always moving higher. We also like the idea of having part of the portfolio preserved, back to safety again, preserved,
right,
so that in the event there are price changes to the lower, it's a lot easier to say, you know what, that looks like a good opportunity. Now let's pick it up, because we've had cash on the sideline on purpose for the specific event. At the same time, you know, diversification, always being invested in some variety of different asset classes. We rather not see crashes, because they're typically boom and bust, and our
scary
markets or economy have made it so that we can handle it a little bit better with a greater level of resiliency and a little less, let's just not use the word crash. That's less
correction.
Likely.
You like that better?
Yeah. We're more comfortable with those terminology.
Sure. Sure. A slight correction. Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about this. You mentioned safety. You mentioned at the beginning of the segment here, and you talked about that safety has different forms. Tell me what your forms look like. Talk about safety. When you're talking to your clients, what does safety look like to you?
Well, most of the time when you think about safety, what one's referring to is the safety of their assets, just preservation of capital, like the name implies. You want to preserve that which you started with, and a bank account can accomplish that. Putting money in a safe or under the mattress, metaphorically, can accomplish that. What it cannot accomplish is helping with regard to safety, keeping pace with inflation. And over time, the cost of goods and services, they go up. And if you have a dollar or $100,000 or whatever the amount of money is sitting idle earning zero, it may be safe in that it cannot go lower, but after the prices of goods and services go up, you actually can consume less of it. So we want to try to keep balance in the portfolio so we can keep pace with inflation, especially after taxes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, so I'm 54. I think I'm 54, 53, 54. And obviously, my strategy is going to be different. It needs to be different, I'm assuming, than, let's say, the guy who's 24.
Yeah.
Right? Because a 24-year-old can take bigger risk and has more time to make up losses versus the 54-year-old guy. And so, when you are looking at, these two types of investors, the older versus the younger, are there some overlap? I mean, is there something that you say, whether you're 24 or 54, you should definitely have a portion of your assets in XYZ? Do you have that kind of philosophy or not really?
That's a good question. The majority of the people that we serve, 54 is even on the young end. I don't know where you're located right now, but where we are, it's expensive in Los Angeles. And for a young family to get launched, to have expenses related to school, their 401ks with their private employers or 403bs if they're employed by a school, sort of earmarking funds for all of those line items, it takes a lot of both time and money. So it's not until really somebody's 55, 56, 57 that they've really had a chance to accumulate real wealth for us to be helpful in managing. That's also not always true because it's an interesting city. Sometimes you have people that have windfalls much earlier or have careers in entertainment that might bring them to us that have a different economic sort of situation than what might be considered traditional. But, what we want to do is always be balanced. We want to have diversification. We don't want to try to time the market. We're not clairvoyant, meaning we don't know what's going to happen, but we have probabilities on our side if we obviously implement diversification, have some equities or stocks, have some in fixed income or bonds, and try to be reasonable and work backward, as in knowing what we're trying to achieve and when. If we can identify that, we can go backwards and figure out what's the best way to get you there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And this is something that took me a while to learn. And so I want to express it with here and then get your feedback on it, is that when I was first starting to invest and I'm thinking, okay, I'm giving my financial people my money and they're going to do what's best for me, and they're going to protect me, and they're going to help me grow my money. And that's not always true. And I found this the hard way, right? Because there are different designations, and these designations allow these financial people to work within a certain standard, right? There's a fiduciary standard versus the standard of what is it called? Acceptable standard? No, suitable, right? Something that might be suitable. Suitability. Thank you. And so the lesson that I learned and the one I want to kind of pass on here and have you kind of give me your insight on is that as a consumer, ultimately, I am responsible for my money. No matter how good you are, no matter the advice that you give me, no matter how much you pull for me, I'm ultimately responsible for my money. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, or maybe they don't want to realize that, Jeff. Just like I did, I was giving all my responsibility to this financial person and not really wanting to put any of that on me. Ultimately, it's my money. It's my retirement. It's my investment. And people need to wake up and really take some time and learn what their responsibility is, because ultimately it's their money.
And yeah, that's right. And sometimes what's worth understanding or recognizing as a retail user, you know, the person who has the investment portfolio that's looking for guidance and direction, is to recognize if they say that they're a growth investor, someone who seeks to have growth over time, while they well may be, you have to ask yourself, what about if the market starts to move lower? What's your reaction if the market's down 5, 6, 7, 10%? Are you the person that says, yeah, I understand because markets move in cycles over time? Or are you the person that says, wait a minute, I've been working so hard and now the portfolio is 10% lower than what it once was. I can't handle that risk. If you're that person, you have a responsibility to yourself and to the person who's helping you to let them know that. A good example of that would be mutual funds. Mutual funds are probably one of the most common ways for an individual or institution to place and have monies invested. But just because one may think that the markets are headed lower, a mutual fund oftentimes has a very predetermined requirement and formulaic outlay of how they must always have the money invested. So, for example, if a fund says, we no matter what, under all circumstances and conditions, will have 95% of this portfolio invested in equities, meaning stocks, but you are someone saying, wait, I'm investing in this for my own future, they're not allowed from their stated purpose to be 95% in stocks, even if the market's moving lower and lower and lower. So you're right. Having an understanding of that and making sure whoever it is that's helping manage that money has a clear understanding of what that client's goals and objectives are, that makes for a best relationship, or the best relationship in our opinion.
Sure, sure. You know what? I want to talk about this a little bit more, or ask you this specific question. You know,
sure.
When you're working with clients these days, you know, what kind of terms of investments are you looking for on behalf of your clients? You know, again, I mean, that might be kind of a hard question to answer, because I know you probably have to look at each individual client individually, but I'm thinking, you know, what do clients look for in terms of investment these days, I guess is my question.
I think a lot of people in this environment are interested in, especially retirees, again, the segment of the population that we tend to focus on or work best with because they have money. Those people are interested in understanding, where do we get income? Income being a complement for them to meet their expenses in retirement. Social Security may be one component of their retirement, a pension if they're lucky enough to have had an employer that provided one. But to complement those sources of income, if they have real estate portfolios that generate it, otherwise it comes to the liquid portfolio. And where do you get it? Oftentimes bonds will generate the income that's helpful. But we are in an interest rate world that is extraordinarily low by historical standards. If you were to go back in time 3 decades or 35 years ago, you'd be shocked to realize or remember what you could have gotten in the bank. Today in the bank, you get probably 0.05 or 0.10%, which are pretty small numbers. 30 years ago, I remember, you know, my office is in Beverly Hills, California, but I'm born and raised in the Show Me State, Missouri. And my family had farms in Kansas. And so every so often and all summer, I would be in Kansas. And I remember my grandmother, who managed a bank there. I remember when banks started to open on Saturdays, and this is in the early 80s when Reagan took presidency. Interest rates at the time climbed so high that no one wanted to miss a day of interest, and the line out the door of the bank on a Saturday was quite long, because you could have earned 13, 14% in a CD with no risk. That's not the case anymore.
That's right. You know what? And I remember that. I remember those days. I remember I grew up in Houston, and I now live in the Phoenix area. And I remember my employer at that time, I was a gopher. And I'm trying to remember, when was this? But I remember he would send me to the bank, and he would open up multiple CDs, because I think the limit was $100,000. And 14%, I just remember 14% was what he was getting. And he would open up, I mean, he would, he's buying $1 million worth of CD, right? So he's got 10 $100,000 checks, and it was like a no brainer. I mean, he's getting 12-14%, no risk.
Yeah.
How can you turn it down? Yeah. I mean, and today you look at today, like you said, you're getting 0.5%, high end maybe 2%. Crazy.
And that's on a 5-year commitment for a CD. Yeah. So interest rates are significantly different. You know, in fairness, at the time, inflation was also shockingly high. So your real return, what you earn net of inflation considerations, was significantly less. But on a raw interest earned basis, it was a staggering number. So I think, you know, if you recognize there are places to get income, but anybody who's too greedy and they're reaching for more and it seems like you're getting more than what the rest of the market bears, you have to recognize you're taking on or accepting some level of risk. In a bond,
sure,
which is a debt instrument where you lend money, if somebody's willing to pay you significantly more, you must ask yourself, why would that be? Either they have a weak or compromised credit quality, or they are the bond may not come due for many, many years, like 30 years, in which case you take on interest rate risk. But there are risks to be aware of. And if anything seems too good to be true, you have to ask yourself, is it?
And you know what? I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's where, you know, back to my earlier statement, we, the consumers, have to be responsible to know some of this, not to know all of it. Obviously, I don't want to do this full time. That's your job, Jeff, but I should have some basic knowledge of some of these terminologies. I should have some basic knowledge of how these things work so I can make these choices that we're talking about. So I at least know to ask the question, wow, Jeff, this bond is paying such a high rate, why? And then we can go about doing the homework, and you can say, well, you know, it's not paying off until 20 years from now or 10 years from now, or you know what, their credit has changed or whatever. So that's what I mean by us, the consumers, really have to get down on it, you know, start doing some of our own work.
Asking more questions is a great starting point. And then if that still doesn't make sense, it doesn't mean that the consumer or the retail investor is wrong not to understand. They should ask yet further. So wait, what are the implications? What does that mean, or why would that be? And someone who's effective in communicating this will help them understand, if you own a bond that's paying 3% right now and you have $100,000 invested, that's 3% of $100,000, $3,000 every year. If interest rates go up, and they're now 4%, who wants your bond at 3%?
Right.
I don't. I'll go out to the market and buy one at 4%. It pays me more. That's a 30% increase in income. So you have to recognize, as the bond owner getting the 3%, someone's going to be willing to offer you less to buy it because it's not as valuable. And sometimes our investment world is made to seem so complex, but the reality is that you can simplify a lot of this material so that it's understandable, that it's accessible. And if you can have a relationship with someone that can do that for you, it's usually in their best interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeff, we're going to end on that note. I want to say thank you so much for stopping by today. Jeff Runyon, is out of Beverly Hills. And Runyon Capital Advisors. Jeff, what's your website?
Bert, thanks. Runyon Capital, RunyonCapital.com. And we'll welcome any visitors or phone calls at 310-882-6496. And we appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today.
You bet. Good stuff there from Jeff Runyon about what's happening in the marketplace, what you as the investor should be looking for. And again, it's obviously, it's a custom-made program. Our investments are not one size fits all. It's really depending on what your risk tolerance is. Jeff made a great example of that risk tolerance. It also depends on your age and all that other good stuff. So definitely take the time to do your homework, find somebody that you trust, and make sure that they have your interest at heart, right? That they're going to protect you and watch over you. As always, it's just a great pleasure to be able to serve you, my listening audience. We appreciate the comments on Facebook, now on Facebook Live. We appreciate the interaction on social media in general. And we appreciate the ideas, the show suggestions, the questions, the guest suggestions. You guys make Money for Lunch more fun because you help me make it better. So if you have an idea, if you have a topic, if you have a guest that you'd like to see on Money for Lunch, reach out to me. Always good to hear from you. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, so I'm getting ready to go live here.